Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, Eric Christensen. Thanks so much for listening, and I hope you pick up some clinical pearls today. Today I'm going to cover metoprolol. The reason I'm doing this, you can go back and listen to the beta blockers section, where I gave kind of a general overview and some clinical pearls and tricks kind of to the class as a whole. But I have had requests to kind of do individualized agents within some of those classes just to recognize that there are differences between some of these agents. So I wanted to highlight some of those differences. Certainly we'll cover the basics of each medication as well, and I'm going to do that with metoprolol. So first off, let's discuss some of the names of metoprolol. So the biggest thing to remember with metoprolol is there's primarily two oral dosage forms, and metoprolol tartrate is the immediate release formulation. This is going to be dosed generally 2 to 3 times per day. I would say in the overwhelming majority of cases, I see it dosed twice per day. The brand name of the immediate release product is Lopressor. Now, on the flip side, we do have an extended release product, and that is metoprolol succinate, which goes by the name of Toprol or Toprol XL. That is typically dosed once a day. And simply put, the reason being why this dosing is like that is because of the pharmacokinetics. The duration of action for the immediate release is, you know, in the ballpark of 3 to 6 hours. So we need to dose that multiple times per day. Duration of action for the extended release obviously is going to be closer to a full day or 24 hours. Indications of metoprolol: blood pressure, angina, can be used post-MI to help improve outcomes there. Atrial fibrillation to kind of keep that heart rate in check. And metoprolol does have the indication and the evidence behind it to be used in HFrEF. So that's heart failure with reduced ejection fraction. Now, it's not all beta blockers have that indication, so that is important to note. Thyroid storm, I have heard of it, seen it used there rarely. Migraines, you may see metoprolol use. I would say in most situations you're going to use a non-selective agent, but I have maybe seen it once or twice. Let's kind of stick with some of the pharmacokinetic parameters, and specifically, I talked about the duration a little bit and why the drug is dosed the way it is, depending upon the dosage form. We also have bioavailability alterations depending upon the formulation used. So bioavailability is slightly less for extended release. However, in most situations, if you're doing a conversion, let's say from immediate release to extended release, you're probably going to use the same dose, the same total daily dose that you would for both there. But recognize that you could have some slight alterations in patient response. Potentially going to the XR, the bioavailability is a little bit less than it is for the immediate release. So there is the odd potential that you could have a little bit less of a clinical response when making a transition like this. And one of the main reasons in clinical practice that this might come up is, you know, maybe a patient, they, you know, can't remember to take their second or possibly even third dose of metoprolol immediate release. And they simply suggest, hey, it'd be a lot easier to remember if I could just take this once a day. So that's one of the advantages, certainly, of the extended release. With extended release, I know something that's come up in my geriatric practice is, of course, crushing medications. The extended release should not be crushed. Patients shouldn't chew it before they swallow or anything of that nature. There is some evidence that splitting the tablet is okay and doesn't alter the way it works to a significant extent that's clinically relevant there. So with that, let's continue on pharmacokinetics. One important thing that's going to differentiate metoprolol from some of the other beta blockers is which enzymes break it down, or specifically which enzyme. So the enzyme CYP2D6 is the one that is primarily responsible for breaking down metoprolol. So in the event you've got alterations and or drug interactions, which I'll talk about, the half-life of this medication can vary based upon some of those alterations. So if you're using an enzyme inhibitor of CYP2D6, that could extend the half-life potentially, and obviously the increase the concentrations as well. In addition to that, pharmacogenomic differences, such as a patient who is a slow metabolizer via CYP2D6, they can also have elevated concentrations. Okay, so a few important pharmacokinetic parameters there to think about with the use of metoprolol. Of course, metoprolol is a beta blocker. Primarily, it is beta selective, so from a pharmacodynamic perspective, when we talk about adverse drug reactions for beta blockers as a whole, typically impacts on beta 2 is not going to be that significant, or certainly less significant than a non-selective agent like propranolol. So again, metoprolol is primarily beta selective, so hopefully we don't run as much of a risk in, you know, blunting the effects of albuterol and or worsening a patient who has an asthma exacerbation, for example. All right, let's take a quick break, and then I will wrap up on drug interactions with metoprolol. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, definitely go check us out at meded101.com/store. Board certified MTM exam. We've got geriatrics. We've got pharmacotherapy, ambulatory care. We've also got plenty of study options for students as well. So go check out our NAPLEX material there. If you're a healthcare professional in another field, we've got resources for you as well. I've got a couple of books on Amazon and Audible. Great resources that demonstrate pharmacology principles, pharmacotherapy, clinical judgment, reasoning, drug interaction, all that good stuff that you actually see out in clinical practice. So go check out all the resources we have. They will always be located at meded101.com/store. And go check them out, support our sponsor, and support the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. All right, let's finish up on drug interactions with metoprolol. So with metoprolol, you know, we've got the generalized beta blocker drug interaction. So the pulse lowering effect, if you add another medication, let's say a digoxin, a non-dihydropyridine calcium channel blocker, those medications can lower pulse in and of themselves. So adding it to metoprolol or any of the beta blockers in general can certainly do that. Blunting epinephrine's effects. So metoprolol by beta 1 blockade could block the epinephrine, the benefit from epinephrine if you're using it in cardiovascular purposes or if you're using it in the setting of an allergic reaction. So important to keep that in mind, that beta blockers, metoprolol specifically, can blunt some of those effects to varying degrees. Again, something like asthma, that beta 1 selectivity helps us to not impact that asthma quite as much there. And then with metoprolol, we do have to talk about CYP2D6. So this is unique compared to most of the other beta blockers. Metoprolol is metabolized primarily by CYP2D6. So I think of three classic examples that are antidepressants that can inhibit CYP2D6. Paroxetine, bupropion, and fluoxetine. Those are all CYP2D6 inhibitors, so these can raise the concentrations of metoprolol. Okay, very, very important. So we're more likely to have our, you know, blood pressure lowering effect, drop in pulse, sexual dysfunction, potentially hair loss as well. It's kind of a rare adverse effect. Basically, any sign or symptom of toxicity from a beta blocker could be increased when we use a drug that inhibits CYP2D6 with this medication. All right, I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Track me down at reallifepharmacology.com. You can shoot me an email there. Grab your free 31-page PDF simply for following the blog and when we've got a new podcast available. Also, if you enjoy the show, if you picked up some clinical pearls, definitely leave us a kind rating and review on iTunes. I'm greatly appreciative of all of you who have done that already and taken time out of your precious day. So with that, I'll sign off for today. Thanks so much for listening. Take care. Have a great rest of your day.